CH 910 AM, W245 CT Hayward, and always streaming on the Civic Media app.
This is a special report from ABC News. I'm Brian Clark. Hollywood legend Gene Hackman is dead. The two-time Oscar winner was found dead along with his wife, Betsy Arakawa, and their dog in a New Mexico home. ABC's Jim Ryan has more.
Santa Fe County Sheriff's deputies were sent to Hackman's Mountainside home Wednesday afternoon to check on the welfare of the 95-year-old and his 64-year-old wife. At around 1:45 p.m., deputies found the couple dead, along with a dog. The cause of the couple's death has not been disclosed.
Nominated for 5 Academy Awards, Hackman won his first Best Actor for 1972's The French Connection.
What's my name?
Doyle.
What?
Mr. Doyle.
Come here. You pick your feet.
You've been at Poughkeepsie, haven't you?
Hackman won his second Best Actor honor 20 years later for Unforgiven. He announced his retirement from acting in 2008. Gene Hackman also wrote several nonfiction books and novels. Gene Hackman was 95. This is ABC News.
I'm James Kelly with WBZH News. Your news roundup in quick podcast form. Find it anytime on the WBZH website at buzzofthenorth.com.
On your entertainment beat, I'm Pete Schwabba. If you're headed to the theater this weekend, here's what you have to look forward to. Last Breath is a mystery thriller starring Woody Harrelson, where he and his crew of deep-sea divers are forced to brave the dark, deep waters to save a fellow crew member. The film is based on a true story, but has no reviews in yet, so proceed with caution. My Dead Friend Zoe also opens in wide release. The dark comedy drama tells the story of an Afghanistan army vet who has an odd relationship with her deceased best friend. The cast includes Sonequa Martin-Green, Ed Harris, and Morgan Freeman, and with almost 40 reviews, it's pulling in 95% on Rotten Tomatoes. I have to say, I'm intrigued. No Address also opens this weekend and follows a group of people dealing with homelessness. There are no reviews yet, but the film stars Beverly D'Angelo, William Baldwin, and Lucas Zuman. Let's go to the movies. For more showbiz fun, tune in to Nightlight with me, Pete Schwabo, weeknights from 6 to 8 p.m. on the Civic Media Radio Network.
Will the Packers make a trade? Hi, I'm Mike Clemens with sports from the NFL Combine in Indianapolis, where it's been reported the Packers are open to trading away defensive back Jair Alexander after 7 years with the team. Meanwhile, 49ers receiver Deebo Samuel is asked to be traded. GM John Lynch.
We're on good terms with Deebo. I think, you know, he's asked for a fresh start, and, you know, I think we're going to honor that.
NBA, Bucks basketball tonight as they host the Denver Nuggets. Tomorrow they head to Dallas to play the Mavericks on Saturday. Baseball, Brewers manager Pat Murphy on convincing young players in Milwaukee can compete with teams with big contract players in the major leagues.
A lot of it is attitude, you know, your attitude about base running, your commitment to base running outside of stealing bases. The threat to steal is sometimes as effective as the stolen base. So we have to put pressure on other teams that way, put pressure on pitching staffs that way offensively, and I think we have the personnel to do that.
That's Brewers manager Pat Murphy. With sports, I'm Mike Clemens.
The Todd Albaugh Show.
Trevi Olson joins us.
There's a hockey game tomorrow night between Canada and the U.S. Everywhere up in Canada when they were playing the game, the U.S. was being booed. Imagine how you would feel if your neighbor were constantly saying, I'm taking your backyard. You would find that very serious. That's what's happening around the world. We are going to have no friends, period.
That is
and
so
that
well put.
And that matters.
The Todd Albaugh Show. Weekdays, noon till 2 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app. Jane Matinair and Greg Bach.
Coming up on the show, Judge Susan Crawford joins us at 11:06. The election just 5 weeks away for the next spot on the Wisconsin Supreme Court. Don't miss it.
Matinair on air, weekday mornings at 10. Your news, conversations, and a whole lot of fun. It's all on your local Civic Media radio station or the Civic Media app.
Mostly cloudy and a little breezy today. We'll get to around 38 for a high. The wind northwest at 15 to 25. Tonight, 26. Tomorrow, some light rain and snow showers. It's going to be windy with falling temperatures. We're going to drop from the upper 30s in the morning into the 20s by late afternoon. I'm meteorologist Sean Cable. Outside now, it's 35.
The Maggie Dawn Show.
Brian Lomax, defend the vote.
The SAVE Act will make it harder for all Americans to vote. Now you need a passport. Wisconsin specific, 5 million people don't have a passport. Now it's $130 per passport.
Even if you can afford to get a passport, that is a months long process. Unless you planned a year ahead, you're not going to be able to vote.
The Maggie Dawn Show. Weekdays from 2 till 4 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the Civic Media app. Pete Schwabba.
On the next Nightlight, I welcome Key and Peele writer Rich Tallarico, who wrote the iconic substitute teacher sketch. Rich will also make the popcorn pick of the week. Let's light it up.
Nightlight with Pete Schwabba. Weeknights from 6 till 8.
Well, it was kind of a dreary day weather-wise around the state of Wisconsin yesterday, and it doesn't look like it's going to improve a whole bunch today. Welcome to a Thursday, everybody. I'm the fabulous Farm Babe Pam Yonke. This is the Midwest Farm Report. Stumacher Ag Meteorologist will be bringing us all the weather details he's got in just a few moments. I can tell you the forecast in front of me, calling for the possibility of rain maybe before noon today. Otherwise, cloudy skies. High temperatures today right around 43 degrees. Winds a little stronger today out of the northwest. 10 to 15 miles an hour may gust as high as 30 miles an hour. Tonight down to 31. Friday, another chance of rain in the morning. Otherwise, a sunny day. Highs on Friday around 51. Saturday, a very steep drop in temperatures. Sunshine, but only 31 are expected high on Saturday. Sunny on Sunday. And 37. Weather details on the way. Also bringing you details, it was kind of a dreary day down at the state capitol yesterday, but that didn't deter the energy of about 35 Wisconsin corn growers, soybean growers, and members of the biofuels industry. What were they talking about? We're going to find out. Stephanie Hoff was down there. And we're catching up with Ryan Yonkman, vice president of EverAg this morning. Last week, we picked up the latest milk production figures, and for the first time in a long time, Wisconsin milk production was down. No, we weren't alone, but what's happening out there? Ryan will break it down for us on a Thursday.
We know that consumers run into a lot of labels at the grocery store, but there's one unique to Wisconsin vegetables that's worth paying attention to. I'm Stephanie Hoff from the southern end of the world's longest barn in Madison. Dina Knutson joins us. She's a scientist with the plant pathology department at UW-Madison. She's been coordinating the Healthy Grown program for more than two decades. Healthy Grown helps farmers promote the conservation work they're doing on the farm with a unique label. It's been recently noticed by award-winning television shows and one of the largest retailers in the world. Dina has the details.
But you actually are going to be finding it more than you know, because a lot of the potatoes out there, potatoes, onions, and carrots that are being sold locally are actually certified under it. But it is becoming more of a thing that consumers will be able to see it in the future more as they start looking into the details of it. But basically, the program itself is the growers doing the right thing on the land to do the best management practices, do all their integrated pest management practices, using resources properly, doing some restoration and ecological work on their farms, and to do all those things to grow in a way that's sustainable for the long term.
Is there a central location to find the growers that are certified under this program if a consumer's interested in seeing that?
So the program is run out of the Wisconsin Potato and Vegetable Growers Association. They're the trade association for the industry, the potato and vegetable industry. And they do have a Healthy Grown informative site, and that's on their wisconsinpotatoes.com. And I believe there's a tab on the top that just says, like, varieties and stuff, and Healthy Grown is under that. You'll have more details on that, and it will have some of the growers that do it and then the suppliers that are offering it.
So this touches a wide range of vegetables grown in Wisconsin, right?
Mostly it's potatoes because that's our largest vegetable crops that we've done, but we do certify quite a few onions and have certified some carrots here and there. Onions have been done where they are in the fresh market and packed, and some carrots that have been around. But we're always looking to see if we can expand that and make it more accessible for more growers and more consumer interest. Growers are able to use some signage or some promotional efforts that you might see in the store through bins or whatever saying that they would be Healthy Grown certified. There's actually a seal that will say certified Wisconsin Healthy Grown that you can see on some of those.
I am curious if there is any kind of incentive. Maybe it's an incentive for the buyer to purchase healthy grown. Have you been able to pinpoint if that's the case?
Well, that's a good question, and it's actually something that we've been really pushing recently here between the last between the end of 24 and the beginning of 25 here, is that there does seem to be an incentive for the buyers to be pushing this kind of work. For example, Healthy Grown at the end of 24 was just offered to be one of the accepted certified programs under the pollinator protection plans for all of Walmart stores, which was a very big deal. So Walmart has a sustainability program, and they're looking for all of their produce to be under some kind of IPM plan and have pollinator protection as a main part of that. And Healthy Grown does fit that. We've been approached from other stores where you're seeing that they're interested in very similar type sustainability work and want to be able to promote their efforts as a store, and Healthy Grown fits those kind of things. So Healthy Grown growers, having certified of that, would get preferential buying and possibly some incentives for being able to sell their products at a premium, or at least at a priority status for various outlets of this. And I know consumers might be hearing this from Kroger's, all their brands, or you hear it from Myers or whatever. A lot of these companies, even Frito-Lay, they all have kind of some kind of sustainability programs, and we want to make sure that we're fitting under those and that our growers can actually say, yes, we can fit under your program, and we're happy to supply you with our produce.
From the sounds of it, it's almost that return on investment in sustainability programs, integrated pest management, and some of the other things that you listed.
Yes, absolutely. The return on investment is for the growers that this is going to keep them in business for the longer term. It's what the consumers and the supply chains wanting right now. But more importantly, it really is the best for the land and for how to manage your crop and to be more sustainable, which includes the environmental practices, the social aspects of the farm that you need to do, but also economically sustainable so that growers can maintain their farms for the long term.
As we heard, since the mid-1990s, the Wisconsin Healthy Grown program has put Wisconsin potato growers on the map. Nearly 30 years later, Wisconsin continues to see the value of the program, especially during the ever-evolving requirements within the market. This is one of the reasons the Wisconsin Healthy Grown program was featured on the TV show Wisconsin Foodie. It aired on PBS earlier this month, and it will air again on March 6th at 7:30 p.m. on PBS Milwaukee. Dina Knutson says if growers are interested in being a part of the Healthy Grown program, sign-ups and informational sessions are going on now.
The WPBGA actually does handle the actual sign-up and certification from growers and works with them. But we just sent out the information for signing up for the 2025 growing season. We would like people to sign up by the end of March, but we always do have a grower meeting by mid-March that we do where we sit down with growers and research specialists to talk about the various things that would be considered a high bar, best management practices and IPM practices, and that's always the middle of March. March 13th this year, we're going to do that meeting. So sign up is happening within the next month, and we're looking forward to meeting with growers there and getting them going on the season to start the certification.
Can you give us a status report so far? How many growers or how many acres are enrolled in this program?
I don't have it for 2025 yet because we know we're getting some new growers this year. But in general, it's about 10 to 12 growers, but they tend to be anywhere from 10,000 to about 15,000 acres that we certify each year, somewhere in that range of all the different crops. And it doesn't sound like a lot, but in reality, it's a good chunk of the fresh market industry, like especially on potatoes, where we're probably about 30 to 50%, depending on the year, of the fresh market industry is certified.
Dina, anything else you'd like to add before I let you go today?
The biggest thing would be that although it seems like we've got a big momentum now, we've actually been working on this program and certifying. 2025 will be our 25th year of certification, which is kind of crazy to think about it, that I've actually been working on this for 25 years. And it's just exciting to see that all the work that we've done to this point is finally becoming more mainstream, and people are really accepting that this is the way that we need to go for farming in general, but then also for the supply chain and for the food system, is to have this kind of sustainable growing systems all the way up through the food chain is very valuable, and it's finally all coming to fruition, so it's nice to see.
conservation work is trending. Dina Knudsen along with us. She's a scientist with the plant pathology department at UW-Madison, and she's also been coordinating the Healthy Grown program for over two decades. This is a certification program through the Wisconsin Potato and Vegetable Growers Association, and it's a way to help farmers showcase the conservation and sustainability work that they're doing on farm. From the southern end of the world's longest barn in Madison, I'm Stephanie Hoff.
What weather is in store for the Midwest today? Stay tuned as Ag Meteorologist Stu Muck gives you the latest forecast in just moments, right here on the Midwest Farm Report.
You're listening to the Buzz of the North, 910 AM WBZH.
Did you know VA home loans are a key to home ownership for those who served?
In the military, we make a lot of sacrifices, and with the VA loan, it makes it easier for us to get a home.
We were able to purchase this home and then use the money that we were going to use as a down to actually fix up the home. I would tell anybody who is interested in getting a VA loan to just do it.
To learn more about VA home loans, visit va.gov/home loans.
The Todd Alba Show.
Elon Musk putting in so much money that it drowns out other people's voices to decide who our next Supreme Court justice is. Whether or not you're going to vote Republican or Democrat or Schimmel or Crawford, your voice is getting drowned out by Elon Musk, a guy who has no business in Wisconsin. And you don't think that Brad Schimmel is going to be in Elon Musk's pocket? It's going to affect us in Wisconsin.
The Todd Alba Show. Weekdays, noon till 2 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app. Matt Nair on air.
A lot of federal employees got this fork in the road letter. You can stay, but you're not really guaranteed anything. Luann's husband is a Vietnam veteran.
I wrote a letter to President Musk. My husband put his life on the line for our country.
Wow.
You are putting my husband's life on the line right now by cutting all those programs that are keeping him alive at the VA. Please call your legislators and tell them to stand up. This is not what America is.
Matt Nair on air. Weekdays 10 till noon on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app.
It's easy to listen to your favorite local radio station anytime. Download the Civic Media app from the Apple or Google Play Store, then listen live or whenever you want from anywhere for free. You are listening to your local Civic Media radio station on air. Thank you. Did you know we are always streaming on TuneIn and the Civic Media app too? And if you miss a show or game, find it wherever you get your podcasts or on our website, civicmedia.us.
You're listening to the Buzz of the North, WBZH, Hayward's home for Nightlight with Peach Wabba.
Todd Alba.
Hey, everybody, join us next time. We'll take a look at a very nuanced topic, Joanne Fabrics closing. Doesn't affect you. Also, what's worse, Food Edition. Join us.
The Todd Alba Show, weekdays noon till 2. The Buzz of the North, 910 AM WBZH.
To Ryan Yonkman, Vice President of EverAg. He's one of our guests this morning. Coming up, we're going to focus in on the January milk production report. First time in a long time that Wisconsin milk production actually went down, only about 0.75 percentage point, but it's a trend. Meanwhile, California and Arizona continue to struggle with high path avian influenza in their dairy herd, and that pushed their milk production numbers down as well. If you've got a question on high path avian influenza, we've got more on that coming up. Federal funding that's been released to further testing. So like I said, use that talk text line. If you've got a question about something happening in Wisconsin agriculture or one of our guests, you are welcome to queue it up now. 877-301-FARM. Stu Muck, ag meteorologist, joining us now on a Thursday morning. Yeah, I just glanced out. Few sprinkles in the Madison area. Is that what's happening in most of Wisconsin, or what's going on out there?
Well, if you're seeing it, it's really scattered. There's sprinkles in the south. Maybe some snowflakes up toward Antigo, far northeast Wisconsin, but that's about the worst it is.
And now, are we looking for any more snow? I mean, I'll love the temperatures today and tomorrow, but boy, we do a drastic change about on the weekend.
Well, it does drop off quickly for the weekend, Pam, and there may be some precipitation Friday. That's where a little snow is a possibility. I see that far northeast tip of Minnesota, they're talking about snow amounts upwards of 8 inches to a foot. That's way up in that northeast tip, almost north of Lake Superior. Wow. Northern Wisconsin won't see anything like that. In fact, we start out this morning kind of quiet, a dense fog advisory in far northeast Illinois, just south of the Wisconsin border. Southeast Wisconsin, most most likely dealing with some fog. So slow down, take her a little easy this morning. Those sprinkles, that stray snowflake in the north, may make it a little slippery here or there if it freezes on, so watch out. But a weak front does drop south and east and on into the state today. That little light precipitation may linger for a time. And otherwise, we're talking about a pretty quiet day, a little more breezy. The winds do pick up a bit more for today and into tomorrow as well. In fact, wind gusts on Friday in southern Wisconsin, somewhere up to 35 and 40 miles per hour. That's going to be with the next little clipper that moves through, that chance of a little light rain south, some snow north. Oh, Park Falls and Hayward, maybe even an inch of snow accumulating into Friday. Everybody else probably on the lighter side. But that next clipper, the one for the end of the week for Friday, as it drops through, will bring that colder air around. Pam talked about it. I mean, we're going to be in the 40s or even 50 on Friday, and we'll be lucky to have a freezing mark, 32 or below on Saturday. In fact, upper 20s in the north, the most we can hope for. It cools down pretty sharply for Saturday. But how about that? It turns around. In fact, those temps start to rise a bit for Sunday, but by Monday, back to above normal. Everybody should be talking 40s by Monday, even up to 50 or better on Tuesday. So the mild air returns into early next week. Yes, with that mild air returning later Monday into Tuesday, more rain chances develop. So we're getting some precipitation. Our first day of March will be on the cold side. You may want to say it's coming in like a lion with that little cold air, but that's about the most it'll be. Then again, we get that mild air back for early next week and that rain. So more moisture coming around. That's going to do us some good eventually as we get on toward the growing season. Getting that moisture on the ground right now certainly can't hurt at all. So not the worst of weather patterns. Still mild today, like we've talked about. Colder to start the weekend, and that mild air returning next week. Remember that forecast, March 1st through 7th, still indicating at least normal, if not a bit above normal temperatures, but below normal precipitation. I'll check our forecast details right
after
this.
It's still sinking in. All the medals that Bavaria Sausage brought home from the German Butchers Association competition. Scott Stoll, one of the owners of Bavaria Sausage, says they walked away with 49 medals, 30 that were gold, and all the products they submitted, something you can purchase today.
Yeah, we picked products right out of the freezer, right out of the deli case, right out of our coolers, and that's what we brought. We did not do a special batch of any of this. We didn't know, but we had a feeling that we'd do pretty well with the Germans on this one.
That's Scott Stoll, one of the owners of Bavaria Sausage, capturing 49 medals at the recent German Butcher Association Meat Products Competition, recognizing the quality that started more than 60 years ago with Fred Bohl. Bavaria Sausage. Shop those award-winning meats today at the corner of Nesbitt Road, Fitch Rotor Road in Fitchburg. Open Monday through Friday, 9 until 7, Saturday, 9 until 1, or always open online. BavariaSausage.com. Hey, if you haven't, you started your scrolling this morning. I'll give you a headline. Actor Gene Hackman and his wife found dead in their Santa Fe home. Sheriffs do not expect foul play. Him and his wife, as well as their dog, found dead this morning. He was in his 90s. That caught my attention there, Stu, as much as the attention you're getting for the sudden turn in temperatures on Saturday.
Yeah, a little bit. I think we'll all realize that it got cold real quickly on Saturday. Today, that little sprinkly shower, maybe the snowflakes in the north, that sticks around for a time. A mostly cloudy day. We'll be in the upper 30s, far north to mid 40s in southern Wisconsin, and the northwest wind will be around 5 to 15, even gusting up to about 30. We do clear a bit tonight, and that's why there'll be upper 20s, maybe a 30 in the south. Southwest winds increasing a bit later in the night, 5 to 15. They could gust around 30 by Friday morning, and by Friday, we'll call it partly sunny, more clouds north, a little rain in the south toward the afternoon, some snow north late morning into the afternoon, and those temps on the mild side, very low 50s in the south, only in the low 30s north, a big difference then, and the southwest winds become northwest later, 10 to 20, some gusts on Friday toward 35 and 40, and by Saturday, there's the change, mostly sunny, maybe 31 in the south, mid-20s north, with a north wind at 5 to 15, upper 30s by Sunday, Pam, and then 40s on Monday.
Okay, so weekend will bring us back to reality as far as our normal temperatures at this time of the year.
Yeah, Saturday, the first day of March, will seem like winter because of the temps.
Right, yep, I was going to guess. All right, my friend, sounds good. We will catch up with you tomorrow morning and find out what we got.
You bet. Have a great day.
All right. We'll enjoy it today. Like he said, enjoy it today and tomorrow because the weekend just a tad on the chilly side. Stu Muck, our ag meteorologist with your weather forecast. Again, getting a little bit report of light drizzle around a good chunk of the state of Wisconsin. You are welcome to contribute what you're seeing. 877-301-FARM. That's 877-301. That's our talk text line. Use it now.
This is the Midwest Farm Report with Pam Youngke.
You're listening to the Buzz of the North, WBZH, Hayward's home for Up North News Radio.
The Maggie Dawn Show.
Folks, I'm talking with Jill Rosenthal. Trump is proposing to make incredibly drastic cuts to the NIH.
The National Institutes of Health, the state receives almost $600 million. That pays for over 7,000 jobs in Wisconsin and accounted for almost $1.5 billion in economic activity in 1 year.
The Maggie Dawn Show. Weekdays from 2 till 4 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the Civic Media app. Nightlight with Pete Schwabba.
What celebrity would you like to hug? It's International Hug Day. I wouldn't say Josh Brolin is like my favorite actor, but he's got like a quiet macho-ness to him. Actor Glenn Morshower joins us now.
My self-esteem was jolted when you did not mention me as your hugging preference.
I didn't want to rush it. I just want to see how. Let's just dip our toes in the water here and see what kind of relationship develops, shall we?
Nightlight with Pete Schwabba. Weeknights from 6 till 8 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the Civic Media app.
We are the keepers of the wild. For more than 80 years, we've been committed to conserving the natural landscapes that define our nation. Nothing is more important than maintaining wild spaces for adventurers to explore and wildlife to thrive. We are America's hunters and target shooters. Together with firearm, ammunition, and archery manufacturers, we've supported the conservation of more than 36 million acres of American wildlands. For more information, visit OutdoorStewards.org.
That first time seeing my son, I feel like my life did a 180. He really a definition of like why he loves somebody.
Through all of fatherhood's firsts, never stop being a dad. Visit fatherhood.gov to hear more. Brought to you by the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services and the Ad Council.
Fear you may be missing out? We're always streaming on TuneIn and the Civic Media app. Enjoy listening live or catch up by finding the podcast at civicmedia.us or wherever you enjoy listening to your podcasts. You are never far away from your favorite radio station. We're always streaming on TuneIn and the Civic Media app. And if you missed your favorite show or game, listen to a podcast of it anytime on the app or our website, civicmedia.us.
You can always continue the conversation on social media. Share your thoughts when you find and follow Civic Media on Facebook, X, and Instagram. This is the Buzz of the North, 910 AM WBZH.
This is a special report from ABC News. I'm Brian Clark. Hollywood legend Gene Hackman is dead. The two-time Oscar winner was found dead along with his wife, Betsy Arakawa, and their dog in a New Mexico home. ABC's Jim Ryan has more.
Santa Fe County Sheriff's deputies were sent to Hackman's Mountainside home Wednesday afternoon to check on the welfare of the 95-year-old and his 64-year-old wife. At around 1:45 p.m., deputies found the couple dead, along with a dog. The cause of the couple's death has not been disclosed.
Nominated for 5 Academy Awards, Hackman won his first Best Actor for 1972's The French Connection.
What's my name?
Doyle.
What?
Mr. Doyle.
Come here. You pick your feet.
You better pick up, haven't you?
Hackman won his second Best Actor honor 20 years later for Unforgiven. He announced his retirement from acting in 2008. Gene Hackman also wrote several nonfiction books and novels. Gene Hackman was 95. This is ABC News.
On your entertainment beat, I'm Pete Schwabba. John Hughes was the king of teenage comedies, pretty much up until his sudden death in 2009. At a recent event in Hollywood, producer Adam Fields says Hughes sent him the initial script for The Breakfast Club as a play that was all set in one classroom. When asked about a potential remake, Fields said he did not think the film could be remade because it is character-driven, whereas everything these days is mostly concept-driven. The Breakfast Club recently celebrated the 40th year since its release. The cast of the Oscar-nominated film Conclave, a film film about selecting the new pope after the death of a pope has a lot on their mind, like a potential Best Picture win at the Oscars this coming weekend after winning the Outstanding Performance by a Cast in a Motion Picture last Sunday at the Screen Actors Guild Awards. Members of the cast wished real-life Pope Francis well as he has been hospitalized with health issues at 88 years old. Isabella Rossellini said, "We love this pope and are worried for him. Life imitating art or art imitating life." For more showbiz fun, tune in to Nightlight with me, Peach Wabo, weeknights from 6 to 8 p.m. on the Civic Media Radio Network.
Will the Packers make a trade? Hi, I'm Mike Clemens with sports from the NFL Combine in Indianapolis, where it's been reported the Packers are open to trading away defensive back Jaire Alexander after 7 years with the team. Meanwhile, 49ers receiver Deebo Samuel is asked to be traded. GM John Lynch.
We're on good terms with Deebo. I think, you know, he's asked for a fresh start, and, you know, I think we're going to honor that.
NBA, Bucks basketball tonight as they host the Denver Nuggets. Tomorrow they head to Dallas to play the Mavericks on Saturday. Baseball, Brewers manager Pat Murphy on convincing young players in Milwaukee can compete with teams with big contract players in the major leagues.
A lot of it is attitude, you know, your attitude about base running, your commitment to base running outside of stealing bases. The threat to steal is sometimes as effective as the stolen base. So we have to put pressure on other teams that way, put pressure on pitching staffs that way offensively, and I think we have the personnel to do that.
That's Brewers manager Pat Murphy. With sports, I'm Mike Clemens.
Pat Kreitlow. It's my final day off, which means I recorded this a few days back. Will Todd Alba really be filling in for me on Thursday? Only he and his bail bondsman know for sure.
Up North News with Pat Kreitlow. Weekday mornings starting at 6. Enjoying this local program? Find the complete Civic Media lineup at civicmedia.us or the Civic Media app.
Mostly cloudy and a little breezy today. We'll get to around 38 for a high. The wind northwest at 15 to 25. Tonight, 26. Tomorrow, some light rain and snow showers. It's going to be windy with falling temperatures. We're going to drop from the upper 30s in the morning into the 20s by late afternoon. I'm meteorologist Sean Cable. Outside now, it's 35.
You're listening to the American Democracy Minute, keeping your government by and for the people. Three elected officials in the Pennsylvania borough of Millburn are being arraigned on mail and voter fraud charges relating to a 2021 attempt to manipulate a town mayoral election. The Delaware County Daily Times reports that two borough council members allegedly recruited willing voters outside the Philadelphia suburb to support a third council member's write-in campaign for mayor. The town of 1,200 residents has only 549 registered voters and one of the highest concentrations of citizens of South Asian descent in the country. The three allegedly solicited personal information from the outside voters, then logged in and changed their state voter registration addresses on the state voter information portal to a Millburn address. The Daily Times quoted the indictment as alleging, in total, defendants Muhammad Nural Hassan, Muhammad Mansour Ali, and Muhammad Rafkol Islam falsely registered nearly three dozen non-Millburn residents as Millburn voters and cast ballots for those non-Millburn voters in the 2021 general election for mayor of Millburn, unquote. Hassan still lost the election 165 to 138. Defendant Islam was arraigned February 25th, and Ali and Hassan face a judge February 27th. Actual voter fraud remains exceedingly rare nationwide and even more rarely affects the outcome of elections despite partisan disinformation. Find more at AmericanDemocracyMinute.org. I'm Brian Beal.
My part-time service in the Army National Guard makes it possible for me to be more for the community I call home. My training helps me at work when I lead by example. The Army National Guard has taught me the value of showing respect to those I come in contact with each day. My service also allows me to be there for my community in ways others can't. I help my hometown recover after nature strikes. My service in the Army National Guard allows me to keep my country and those I care about safe from threats. I also work with a network of professionals that help me succeed and accomplish the mission. Plus, the Army National Guard education benefits make getting a higher education a reality. Being an Army National Guard soldier makes living and serving in my community more rewarding every day. Learn how you too can live and serve part-time, close to home by visiting NationalGuard.com.
Sponsored by the Wisconsin Army National Guard, aired by the Wisconsin Broadcasters Association and this station.
reviewing the week's legal news with a friend of the court.
Well, I'm looking forward to Saturday morning. I haven't missed one. Outstanding, just like being in school.
It has been a week in the areas of law and government and the aspiration for justice in America. As always, I am delighted. I am honored that you have chosen to spend some of your weekend time with me in discussion.
Amicus, a law review with Jim Santel. Saturday mornings from 9 to 11. Nightlight with Pete Schwabe.
I'm very excited. It is my pleasure to welcome tonight my old pal, Dr. Kristen Lierley. I told the entire listening audience that I rub my feet together sometime when I watch TV, and I called it self-cuddling. And it's like the only thing we do where we rub our own bodies when we relax, you know.
Is it? Is it? Are you telling that to a gynecologist? Pete, come on.
Nightlight with Pete Schwabe. Weeknights from 6 till 8 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the Civic Media app.
You're listening to WBZH, Hayward's home for the Todd Allball Show.
I don't know what Wisconsin is going to do moving forward.
It looks like they're dedicating about $100 million from the U.S. Department of Agriculture towards research, ongoing and new, trying to stop and prevent high path avian influenza, not only in our bird population, but our dairy population as well. That's receiving a lot of support from our dairy industry. We're talking about that on a Thursday morning. Welcome back, everybody. It's the fabulous Farm Babe Pam Yonke. This is the Midwest Farm Report. I'll also be joined this morning by Ryan Yonkman, Vice President of EverAg. For the first time in a long time, Wisconsin milk production went down in January. We're going to take a closer look at the impact high path avian influenza has had on dairy populations and in turn dairy production in places like California and Arizona. Just a couple of the conversations on the way. So today is the 27th day of February. What can I tell you? On this day back in 1969, thousands of students on the UW-Madison campus rioted. They went through 9 different campus buildings, raising a ruckus. What were they protesting? Well, at that time, they were protesting low black enrollment numbers on the UW campus. That happened on this day back in 1969. Some noteworthy birthdays today. Consumer advocate Ralph Nader, who has alerted government to all kinds of consumer protection issues, environment issues, government reform issues, 91 today. And believe it or not, she was married to Steve McQueen. Joanne Woodward, she turns 95 today. Wow. And now you know. Well, they're just beginning their work on the biennial budget and other items down at the state capitol, but Wisconsin farmers don't want to miss out on any of the action. Yesterday, about 35 corn growers, soybean producers, and members of the biofuels industry made a trip to Madison. Stephanie Hoff caught up with Sarah Stelter. She's a corn and soybean grower herself. She's also the immediate past president of the Wisconsin Soybean Association, and she said the goal was to make sure that elected officials know how important the biofuels industry is to Wisconsin farmers. And she said the conversations went pretty well.
I think it went great. I think we have some legislators that are really behind biofuels as well as corn and soybean farmers. It was really a unique experience to get to be able to work with the biofuels group. We haven't done that in the past when we've gone up to see our lobbyists, so that was sort of a unique experience. And it proved very positive, too.
Because this was in conjunction with biofuels, was that the theme?
Yes, it was. It was encouraging incentive programs for both biodiesel as well as ethanol. So both corn and soybean farmers are represented along with the biofuels folks. The other thing that we talked about quite extensively with our legislators was the AREP program, which is the Ag Road Improvement Project program. Right now, the governor has signaled or has cut the program down to $50 million, and we are asking that it go back to $150 million where it was originally proposed.
Tell me more about the biofuel incentive program, and first, paint the picture for us just how important is biofuel to Wisconsin corn and soy?
Biofuels are huge for Wisconsin corn and soybean farmers in that it will put more dollar value on our bushels that we are able to process in state. The other thing, the other that we're trying to get going is incentives so that processors are more willing to open up plants and or pursue putting in a plant so that we have a better option to take our corn and soybeans to.
What was the feeling you got, though, from your lawmakers? How did they receive the content that you were giving them today? Did they seem gung-ho about your objectives or apprehensive?
I would say that they are, I don't want to say lukewarm, but they are supportive of what we are asking. I think everybody's concerned about the budget. Certainly with the ARIP program, they were very supportive of that and do want it, the ones that we talked with wanted to see that money put back into the program. But they are also just trying to figure out how the whole budget is going to end up. And at least they were introduced to the idea of incentives for biofuels. So we'll see now where that goes.
You're here because you want to advocate on behalf of your farm and your fellow soybean growers. What's your message to other growers around the state when it comes to advocating for themselves in front of their state lawmakers?
First off, it's easy. It seems like it would be intimidating, but it's not. It's like picking up the phone and just talking to somebody. Our legislators, both the Senate and the representatives, are more than willing to speak with us. And it's critical that we stand up for what we need and what we believe in, especially now because we don't know what's going on the federal level. So it's really important we all get involved in advocating for some of these programs that we are pushing.
Are your lawmakers different than they were last year?
Yes, they are. I actually have both my Senate and my Assembly representatives are different than what I had.
That's Sarah Stelter, immediate past president of the Wisconsin Soybean Association. She's running about 800 acres herself by Wautoma, where she raises not only corn and soybeans, but also sweet corn, peas, and green beans, talking about some of their agenda items yesterday, visiting with elected officials at the state capitol, about 35 Wisconsin farmers that made the trip to Madison yesterday. She makes a good point, though, that it is critically important that all farmers, regardless of where you are, make the effort to reach out to your Assembly and Senate representatives. Why? Well, remember, they adjusted the maps, and some of these folks are representing new geography they're not necessarily familiar with. Get acquainted with them. One of the best ways to do that is coming up on Wednesday, March 26th. That is Ag Day at the Capitol, where almost all of our commodity groups and farm organizations come together to really send a swarm of farmers to the state capitol. If you're unfamiliar with it, let us know. Talk text line is open. I can help you. 877-301-FARM. That's 877-301-3276. Quick break. Back with the markets and Ryan Yonkman from EverAg on the way on a Thursday.
When it comes to fungal diseases like soybean white mold and STS, you know how devastating yield loss can be. That's why you work with your seed dealer to find the best genetics for your farm. Did you know you can bring forward the defensive traits of those genetics with a seed treatment? Heads up, a biological plant activator primes your seed to turn on its natural defense against disease. Take your yields to the finish line. Ask your seed dealer for a heads up seed treatment.
Veltima fungicide out-yields the competition by an average of 7 bushels per acre. But you've never been average. The only competition that really matters is you versus you. And with the performance of Veltima fungicide from BASF, you can take your best results even further. Beat your own record. Get every bushel you deserve. And make this your best season yet with Veltima fungicide from BASF. Always read and follow label directions.
All righty. Yesterday in Chicago, the barrel cheese was a quarter of a cent stronger, 179.5. 40-pound block cheese down a penny at 187. The AA butter down a penny, 233.5 per pound. Remember, we're talking dairy with Ryan Yonkman, vice president of EverAg, in just a moment. This morning, the March Class 3 milk, that's up 14 cents at 18.96. April right now up 17 cents, 18.62 a hundredweight. The December new crop corn's basically unchanged right now at 467. November new crop beans are up a nickel, 1050 and a half, while the July new crop wheat, that's down 3 cents at 590 and three quarters. For the first time in a long time, Wisconsin's January milk production went down. Some other anomalies, or is it a new trend happening in dairy states? California and Arizona down again, some of it caused by high-path avian influenza. What's going on in the dairy trade this morning? I'm talking about that next with Ryan Yonkman, Vice President of EverAg. Stick around for that conversation.
Sign up for daily agriculture updates by joining our email list. Head to MidwestFarmReport.com, enter your email address, and we'll handle the rest. More farm news straight ahead. This is the Midwest Farm Report with Pam Youngke.
The Buzz of the North, 910 AM WBZH.
Every story matters, and the Civic Media Radio Network is celebrating Black History Month by honoring the powerful stories of Wisconsin's own trailblazers.
Looking at the road that was laid before me.
From civil rights to business.
Food and like food trucks is just like a cool atmosphere.
Science to music.
Speaking of which, this is why I spit. Express sentiment, a lot of cats on here.
I'm Terry Barr, inviting you to join us right here for inspiring stories all month long.
Let's get back to live music in the lair with Kaylin Cole. The next song you have for us tonight is called 1103. Yes. Is that a time or a flight number?
Oh, that's actually really good. That's a good idea. I think I might have to write another song with that. You'll get 50%.
It's live in the lair. Grab the podcast now at MaxIncRadio.com and listen live on Saturday night, 6 to midnight, across the Civic Media Radio Network.
Wounded Warrior Project has been there for me since that first day in the hospital. They got me out of the house. They got me connected with other veterans, and they helped me face my PTSD. They support me and my family at every turn. And now I'm helping other warriors realize that they're not alone.
Through our hands-on programs, supportive community, and ongoing advocacy, we help post-9/11 veterans realize what's possible. Learn more at woundedwarriorproject.org/possible.
Matt Nair on air.
Oh, Randy Manner is here.
What can you do about this? Focus on what you can impact. Find the courage to speak up to your elected official. If you are silent, then your elected official at the local, state, or federal level will think you completely agree
with
whatever it is you're doing.
Silence equals acceptance.
Correct.
Matt Nair on air, weekdays 10 till noon on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app.
You're listening to the Buzz of the North, WBZH, Hayward's home for Up North News Radio.
Maggie Dawn.
At 2 o'clock, Tom Paulswitz and I dig into DEI in the age of Trump. We share with you some of the things MLK said that you may never have heard of.
The Maggie Dawn Show, weekday afternoons from 2 till 4. This is the Buzz of the North, 910 AM WBZH.
Aleem hoped that his son Rajib would have an easier life than he had. You see, Rajib, just like his father, was born with a cleft. But as a fisherman in a small village in Indonesia, the cost of surgery was out of reach. Their lives were transformed thanks to SmileTrain, which sponsors free, life-changing cleft surgeries and other essential treatments. Rajib's surgery marked SmileTrain's 2 millionth, and incredibly, Aleem's was the 2 million and first. Now, their smiles are a symbol of hope for children with clefts all over the world. 540 babies are born with a cleft each day, but through SmileTrain, millions of lives have been changed. To learn more and support the global cleft community, visit smiletrain.org/learn. SmileTrain. Changing the world, one smile at a time.
All righty. Thank you for that pause. Our friend Ryan Yonkman, broker, analyst, and vice president of EverAg, should be joining us in just a couple moments. I'm Farm Director Pam Yonke. Plenty to talk about as we get started on a Thursday. I mentioned to it earlier. First time in a long time, Wisconsin saw milk production go down in the month of January. We weren't alone. California, Arizona, two additional states, continuing to battle with the after effects of high-path avian influenza in their dairy population. Joining us now, Ryan Yonkman, Vice President of EverAg. What else did you notice coming out of the January milk production report last week, Ryan? I mean, there were plenty of stories to be told.
Yeah, good morning. And you really did a pretty good job highlighting it. I would say this report came in pretty par for the course outside. I'd say California was still maybe a little more negative than we expected, but still for sure within reason of what we know is going on out there. I think the big takeaway for myself personally and our group was, you know, U.S. milk finally turned the corner, and that on a, you know, milk production basis, on a flow basis, we were positive. And when you take into account California at minus 5.7%, that's about 1% of U.S. milk. And what we know about California is avian is something these dairies are recovering from and will recover from. And so you kind of do back of the napkin math pretty quick of, you know, how quickly will these guys be back on their feet, which I think we can strongly look at another 30 to 60 days. And a lot of that milk will be back. A lot of it already is. And boom, just like that, you've got U.S. milk up 1 to 1.5%. So I think the takeaway for us is the U.S. has turned the corner. Are we in growth mode, blowing and going? Absolutely not. Heifers are very tight, but we are certainly on the path to making more. And on top of that, solids are up. Butter fat levels in the milk is very high. We're seeing that up about 1.5%. We've seen that transpire into our cream and butter markets. So I'm sure people have paid attention to here.
Yeah, for sure. Ryan Yonkman joining us live on the Midwest Farm Report. He is the vice president of EverAg. You can find their great resources and, more importantly, their staff online at ever.ag. Ryan, let's talk a little bit more about what else you're keeping an eye on. We mentioned about some of the retail prices that consumers might be seeing. How are we doing as far as overall movement of dairy products?
You know, if you look in the rear, right, meaning you look at the most recent report, you know, that's all 30 to 60 days behind us, and that story still looks good. But I think that's a bit of fool's gold in that that's behind us. Last fall, we had a pretty good break across the U.S. that allowed us to get a lot of exports off. Since then, you take a market like cheese, which is very important to your Wisconsin producers. Cheese has been trading between $1.80 and $1.90 for the last 3 months. Now, as nice as that's been for the milk check, that has not been competitive for new exports. And so when we look at Q2, really April forward, we continue to have great concern, but I do not think we've gotten a lot of exports booked as we've not been competitive with Europe. Their mozzarella price has been hanging around $1.90. And so when you take that into account and then you back into the U.S. demand numbers, which have not been that great, we had like Pizza Hut I think it was Papa John's and Domino's dropped their pizza sales figures this week. They were not very good, less than expected. We seem to be still sitting on thin ice in regards to demand. And so when we take into account likely a light export market forward, U.S. demand where it's at, U.S. milk growing, we're looking at this cheese market as something we're quite nervous about. It's the only product we have that really hasn't broke. Butter's broke hard, whey has broke hard, non-fat has slid. Cheese has sat right here. It is, I'd say, our biggest concern right next to butter as we look at the next 30 to 60 days.
And March 1st is on Saturday, and that is supposed to be that date where we get anxious about tariffs again. Ryan, are you guys strategizing on what could get hit first as far as retaliatory tariffs?
You know, it's tricky, and if I understood what he said yesterday, that all got pushed back to April 1 again already.
Okay.
So he bought another 30 days of time. But the reality is it's a giant unknown. The best we can do is try to understand, to your point, what they mean. This happened last time he was in the House, and kind of the simple opinion on tariffs is, hey, if they're going to retaliate back on dairy, which is a fairly high probability, they had already mentioned this year they would, if you take into account Mexico and Canada, if they tariff, say, 10% back on U.S. goods, that's probably 10% lower our prices need to go, because you're going to have to sell product to Mexico. You can't not sell there. And so the reality is retaliatory tariffs, if such play on dairy products, is bearish. There's really no way around that in the short term. But your dart throw is as good as mine on if that's actually going to happen or not.
Again, if we are just welcoming you in, Ryan Yonkman, Vice President of EverEgg, joining us here on the Midwest Farm Report. All right, let's talk a little bit more about consumer preference and items like that. You mentioned a softer pizza situation than what we expected. Ryan, what are we hearing from grocery stores, some of the other restaurant chains? Are they picking up any of the slack? And like you said, if cheese has got to come down, how far does it have to come down?
Retail has been doing nothing, nothing extraordinary either. If we look for the one kind of highlight space, it continues to be the high protein space. You think about all your protein drinks, drinkable yogurts, these quick and on the go things loaded with protein. That continues to be a shiny spot for dairy, which still has a lot to do with the GLP drugs, Ozempic and whatnot, right? All these weight loss drugs require a lot of protein intake. So that remains a bright spot. But going back to kind of the consumer, whether it's through retail or food service, just nothing really breathtaking there happening on the demand front. Ending with where does cheese have to go? For me, the math is pretty simple. We have to export. We just have to.
Ryan Yonkman joining us live here on the Midwest Farm Report for a Thursday morning. Have a great day. We'll catch up with you tomorrow morning, folks.
This is the Midwest Farm Report with Pam Yonke.
You're listening to the Buzz of the North, WBZH, Hayward's home for Matt and Air on Air.
The Dom Salvia Show.
You know, Harvey, the seemingly purposeful no action. What's your sense on the leadership in the Dem Party right now, Harvey?
I'm ashamed of them. What did Trump have on all these people?
Yeah, right.
That we get this kind of silence. Will the Democratic leadership figure out that it's their task to start articulating a Democratic, small d, Democratic vision and project that these people can rally behind? Bam.
The Dom Salvia Show. Weekdays from 4 till 6 on the Civic Media Radio Network and on the Civic Media app.
Spurring more discussions among women about their challenging lives on the farm. Up next on Farm to Fork.
Hey there, it's Mike Rowe, and if you're out there getting dirty, do me a favor and remember to call or click 811 before you dig. And when I say dig, I refer to any activity requiring boring, tilling, drilling, probing, reaming, plowing, drudging, or even scoping. Anything that causes you to roll up your sleeves a little and dig in requires you to first connect with 811 so that you can avoid all those buried pipes, wires, and cables underground. To sum up, call or click 811 before you dig and visit safeexcavator.com for more information.
Sleep deprivation. It doesn't sound serious, but it is. Inadequate quality sleep can lead to faulty decision-making, slower reaction times, fatigue, confusion, and decreased productivity. It raises the risk factor for all you do on the farm. Farm safety and health is everyone's business. This reminder is brought to you by Farm to Fork through the generous support of listeners like you across the country. Learn how you can help at NorthShoreProductions.com. A study of farm women and their health and safety concerns generated a number of discussion groups that appear to be carrying on even after the study was over. Florence Beacott, Hannah Budge, and Shoshana Inwood did the study, focusing on the health and well-being of farm women. Budge, who is a rural sociologist living in Scotland, says farm women face a lot of stress, but the discussion groups seem to help a lot.
I would definitely be hopeful, optimistic about it in the future, and hopefully these conversations are sparking conversations in farm households and making maybe people feel more confident to bring up and say, okay, I'm not actually feeling confident. I actually am struggling with this.
The study focused on farm women in the U.S., but Beacott says they are not alone in their struggle.
We have a colleague out of Slovenia, so very different country, who looked at very similar questions and found very similar findings. We have colleague in the United Kingdom who just are about to start a big project looking at the health and well-being of farm women.
Bicot and Budge were guests on a recent podcast done by the AgriSafe Network. There's a link to it from the show info page at NorthShoreProductions.com. That's Farm to Fork. I'm Daryl Anderson.
Jane Matinair and Greg Bach.
Coming up on the show, Judge Susan Crawford joins us at 11:06. The election just 5 weeks away for the next spot on the Wisconsin Supreme Court. Don't miss it.
Matinair on air, weekday mornings at 10.
Not completing high school is more of a social thing than it was an academic thing. Even though all these years have passed, I still had that longing to have my diploma.
At age 30, Carissa finished her high school diploma.
If you're even considering getting your high school diploma, you can do it.
No one gets a diploma alone. If you're thinking of finishing your high school diploma, you have help. Find free adult education classes near you at finishyourdiploma.org. That's finishyourdiploma.org. Brought to you by the Dollar General Literacy Foundation and the Ad Council.
The Todd Alba Show.
Trevi Olson joins us.
There's a hockey game tomorrow night between Canada and the U.S. Everywhere up in Canada when they were playing the game, the U.S. was being booed. Imagine how you would feel if your neighbor were constantly saying, I'm taking your backyard. You would find that very serious. That's what's happening around the world. We are going to have no friends, period.
That matters.
The Todd Alba Show. Weekdays, noon till 2 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app.
It's easy to listen to your favorite local radio station anytime. Download the Civic Media app from the Apple or Google Play Store, then listen live or whenever you want from anywhere for free.
This is the Buzz of the North, WBZH 910 AM, W245 CT Hayward, and always streaming on the Civic Media app.
This is a special report from ABC News. I'm Brian Clark. Legendary actor Gene Hackman is dead. Authorities conducted a welfare check Wednesday at the Santa Fe area home that Hackman shared with his wife, Betsy Arakawa.
Early this morning, Santa Fe County Sheriff Adan Mendoza confirmed that the 95-year-old Hackman, his 64-year-old wife, and their dog were all found dead in their home. Despite that, Mendoza says no foul play is suspected.
You brought him on my boat. Our man is down behind enemy lines.
In an acting career that spanned four decades, Gene Hackman won a trophy case filled with awards, including two Oscars. Jim Ryan, ABC News.
Those were Best Actor honors 20 years apart for The French Connection and Unforgiven, accepting the Cecil B. DeMille Award in 2003. Hackman described his career.
It's amazing.